turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We are in the section of Proverbs that talk about wisdom. And boy, the world needs it today. There's a lot of people got some ideas about something, but there's some that don't have wisdom in them right now. So we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders for wisdom. But last week we talked about walking in wisdom and that God's wisdom is obtained by trusting God. Verses 1 through 10, we see that we need to walk rightly with God by remembering. If you just remember all of His benefits, that should make you change the path that you're on. We don't need to forget the way. We do not need to forsake the way. We need to understand the benefits of wisdom. It's longevity. We're going to see that again tonight. And then also peace and favor and understanding. In verse 4 it says, with God and all men. So the first thing we need to do to walk rightly with God is to remember Him. We need to pay attention when He's trying to get our attention. The second thing we need to do is we need to walk rightly with God by trusting Him, by having Him first place in our life, and then basically following the path that He's laid before us. The next verse, we need to trust Him in humility and reverence. You know, when you don't respect someone, you don't listen to them. And so we need to put God where He belongs. There and we're down here, and we need to respect Him and listen to Him. It needs a change in perspective on our part, a change in direction on which way we're going to go His way, and then a change in welfare. We talked about Micah 6:8, basically what we're supposed to do. This is what the Lord requires to walk justly and to walk humbly and to live and walk humbly with your God, okay? And so we need to live rightly. And so we need to do those things. And then lastly, this was the point that wasn't on a slide last night or last time. We need to walk rightly with God in regard to our possessions. Basically, it was the concept of having a sacrifice. And that's what the honor of the Lord with your substance really meant, with all of your substance. It gets into the issue of a first fruits. God gets first place. God should have first place in our possessions. God should have first place in our thoughts. God should have first place in our families. God should have first place at our work. God should have first place all the time. And then you will have the continuance of God's blessing. In Malachi 3:10, he says, try me and see what happens when you follow me. So we need to walk rightly with God. The second point is that we need to receive the lessons of wisdom. Verses 11 through 18 talks about that we need to receive God's correction with the right heart. You know, when someone tells you or someone reveals something you need to change, sometimes we don't like that. And we don't necessarily have the right attitude to listen. You know, when God speaks, we need to what? Change our attitude. And so we need to do that. God wants us to do His will. And a Christian should be in God's will. And a Christian who's not living God's will is miserable. Miserable. The benefits of God's wisdom is on three levels. It's emotional. It gives us stable mindset. It's also physically and it's also spiritually. And then verses 19 through 35, we talked about valuing God's wisdom. So walking in wisdom means that you see a worthwhile position to do that. Beholding God's wisdom in creation. You know, we had a praise about Diane having an incident on the road, two tires blown out, but she's safe. You know, most people say, well, that's coincidence. No. God protects. And we need to, you don't know what having something delay you might have you avoid.
Right.
So we need to understand by beholding God's wisdom in creation and then also put it in our own personal context. And then by seeing the safety or the benefit of God's wisdom and then by exercising God's wisdom and then by choosing wise living. Everything spiritually is about a choice. We have a choice to serve God and follow Him or not. And that is the choice for all mankind. So continuing in this thought about wisdom, we need to understand that we need to hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. So tonight as we go through Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to talk about how we need to deal with wisdom. And the point that I want to make tonight is that God's wisdom should be our goal. God's wisdom should be our goal. We saw this in chapter 1, that even the wise gets wiser. We never stop until we see Him face in face, because 1 Corinthians 13 says we know in part and we see in part, but when we are with Him, we will know Him in total. So, 4 points tonight. The first point is found in verses 1 through 4. And in order to deal with wisdom, we need to be disciplined. Be disciplined. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit being what? Temperance. The same concept here. In the first 4 verses says this: "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." There's 3 points that I want to point out here on how we can be disciplined in dealing with wisdom. The first one is found in verse 1, is that we need to be attentive. Solomon is telling his children, he says, look, hear. Do we hear God? Are we so busy with our lives, we're so consumed with other things, that we have no attention span to even look or to listen to Him? That's the purpose of this. So in order to hear, you have to make it a purpose in your heart to listen, to stop and listen. How else can you hear a still, small voice? So we need to be attentive. So if you don't take time, if you don't stop, if you don't see the road sign, you're going to miss it. And then he goes on and says this. He says, and what? Attend to know understanding. That is a goal that we need to have. It means we're going to make it a purpose. God is not something that you just kind of fit into your life. God controls all of your life. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. So in verse 1, we see here that we need to be attentive by hearing and then attend to know understanding. You know, sometimes that means that we need to critically listen. We need to critically listen. So you hear something, and when we listen to something, do we actually see what is the message in it for us? When we read God's Word and we read a verse, or we hear something on the radio, or we hear a message, do we say, take time and stop and hear and then say, yeah, I understand the deeper meaning here? Or are we all superficial? This whole concept of wisdom is to dig deeper into it. So the first thing to do to be disciplined is to be attentive. The second thing we need to do is to be attractive. Okay? We talk about God's Word being worthy and God being worthy and all these other things. But the issue is we need to pay attention to what God's trying to tell us. So Solomon is saying this. He's saying this. He says, for I give you what? Good doctrine. Okay? How can you tell good from bad unless you know good? The Bible says that we're supposed to have the spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error because it's not truth. We've been going and hearing on the news and everything else about what is truth. Okay? Where's the real root cause and all these other things that are going on? We need to understand that we need to seek good doctrine. Okay? You know, the young man came up to Christ and said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for what? For doctrine. And so we need to be attracted because God's doctrine is good. Bible says this, taste and see that the what? That the Lord is good. How do you taste something? How can you taste something unless you eat it? Or unless you try it? So we need to be attracted because it's good doctrine. You know, we buy things in the store because we see that they are good. And we'll pick one brand over another because we think this brand is better. Well, God's the best. So we need to pick His instruction because it's good doctrine. And then the next thing is when you learn it, don't turn your back on it. Remember, to walk rightly with God, the first step is to what? To remember. And so don't forget, because if you start forgetting, then you could wind up forsaking. And so we need to be attentive. We need to be attracted. Now, how many of us growing up heard our parents say, "When I was your age," and everybody your kids might roll their eyes with it and say, "Here we go again." Okay? Here we go again. It's another one, but I walked uphill both ways to school through the snow and all this other stuff, and all these things happened to me. But that's what Solomon's saying here. He's saying the instruction that I'm passing upon you, my child, is the instruction that I received from my father, David. Because look at verse 3. He says, "For I was my," what? "Father's son." And you know, if you go and you read the account about Solomon and how David thought about Solomon, he said he's tender and young and he needs God's protection. He says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." And remember who his mother was. Bathsheba. Okay? Good things can come out of initial bad stuff if God gets in the middle of it. And it says, "He taught me." Dads, you need to teach your kids wisdom. Moms, you need to teach your kids wisdom. They're not going to get it from out there. They're not going to get it from the school system. They're going to get it from what you lived through. Practical life advice. And what we need to have is practical life advice that's based on biblical values. That's wisdom. And so we need to be accepting of it. Don't roll your eyes when someone's trying to tell you something that they've gone through. They don't want you to go through the same thing. The same problems. We need to learn from other people's experiences and not have to keep on creating the wheel every time. Making the same mistake. See, if people just make the same mistake over and over, that's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. So the first thing we need to do is we need to be disciplined. By being attentive, by being attracted to wisdom, and then by accepting wisdom, accepting the life's lessons that we can see out of God's Word and from godly people. Secondly, we need to be determined when dealing with wisdom. In verses 5 through 9, the Scripture says this. It says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not." These are all commands here. It says, "Neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the what? Principal thing. It says God's wisdom should be our goal. Wisdom is the principal thing Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Okay? She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So we need to be disciplined. But then the other thing is, we need to be determined to do this. All these commands here, the extent that we as Christians seeking God's wisdom should do this. There's 8 commands here. It says, get wisdom. Starts off because the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Get understanding. We already know what that is. That's being able to apply wisdom practically to us and to others. So there's 2 commands right there. Look at this. Forget it not. How many times that we know the right answer, we come up with a problem, we know what we're supposed to do, and we do something else. And then we find out that it didn't work. We've all been through that, right? 6-7 words here, and there's 3 commands. Get wisdom, get understanding, don't forget it. And then, what does it say? Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't even start going down the wrong way. Don't even go down the wrong way. Forsake her not. Love her. And then we see, get wisdom again, and get understanding again, but now there is an emphasis here. How hard should we try to get wisdom? With everything we have. How hard should we try to get understanding? With everything that makes us who we are. That sound familiar, what Christ said? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy strength and all thy mind, all thy soul and all thy mind. Doesn't it make sense? Do you see the same thing here? Solomon's asking his kids, he says, I want you to be consumed with finding wisdom and understanding, and the only way that you can do that is to find God. But then there's more. The next one, exalt her. Don't trod wisdom underfoot. Embrace her, which means that you know that wisdom will do you good. Okay? And so we see all these saints, the extent of this, all these 8 commands that we see, and we're supposed to give her all to get it. Whatever we do to God, do it what? Heartily. Okay? We hear about it. His heart's just not in it. Okay? Folks, our faith should consume us. Should consume us. And so, the extent of being determined for wisdom is give it your all. Give it your all. And then, the expectations. You know, God doesn't want you just to do stuff just for the sake of doing it. He wants us to do things so He can teach us and we can be changed to His image and we could be conformed to His will. And we see some things here. There's blessings in this. She will what? Preserve thee. Keep you from going down the wrong way. She will keep thee. And with God, there is cause and effect. Whatsoever you sow, you will what? reap. You plant corn, you will get corn. You won't get asparagus. You're going to get what you plant. So it says, look, she'll preserve you, she'll keep you. If you exalt her, she'll what? Promotion, she'll promote you. The Bible says in Psalms, it says your promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the east or the north or the south or west. It comes from the Lord. She'll bring you to what? Honor. Christ said this. He says, if you be the servant of all, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I hope that over the last 6 or 7 months, as we've gone through these books, we can start putting this stuff together, and you can see the connection of what we need to do. If you can see that connect, that's wisdom. It says here, exalt, she'll promote thee, bring thee to honor when you embrace her. And then, those are all inward things, okay? With the exception of promotion. And then it says, then she shall give to thine head a ornament of grace. You'll know it, and everybody around you will know it too. And not only that, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You know, we've seen in the New Testament that there's all these crowns. Okay? If you don't, as a Christian, seek wisdom, here's one less crown that you can cast back at Jesus' feet when you get to heaven. And so we need to be determined, and we need to understand what it really takes out of us, what it really requires of us to get wisdom. Then, just like we said last week, and like these first four chapters are talking about, that there's a benefit to doing things God's way. Absolute benefit. I've been reading through Job, and the issue is that, you know, all of his friends say you just can't outthink God, and that's true. We just can't reason it out. He says, why? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So the first thing is we need to be disciplined. Okay? Then the second thing is we need to be determined. And then in dealing with wisdom, the third thing is we need to be directed. We need to be directed by wisdom. In verses 10 through 19, we see this. Now, the first four verses talk about applying wisdom. In verses 10 through 13, it says, hear, O son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. And here is the key. For she is thy life. We sing the song, Christ is all I need. What is your life engulfed in? What's the driving force of our life? For the Christian, should be God. And so we need to be directed to apply wisdom to our thinking. Once again, we see the command, hear, O son. And not only that, in verse 1, he talks about being attend to, get understanding. Here he says, hear, and then what? Receive my sayings. Hear and receive my sayings. Change the way you think. Then he goes on and says, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right path. So we need to be directed in our thinking. Hey, we've studied that in the New Testament. Be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Secondly, to your walk. He says, I've led you. If we have wisdom and we're directed by wisdom, several things will happen. First of all, as verse 11 says, you'll be in the right path. You'll be in the right path. And then, oh, by the way, if you're on the right path, there's no need to correct you, which is what verse 12 says. He says your steps are not going to be straightened. There's no correction here. When you're in the middle of God's will, seeking His wisdom and doing all those things, you're going the right way and you're not veering off because you're being disciplined and you're determined and you're focused on Him. And not only that, you don't just walk on your path, you run. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that God has set before us. So we're not running and we will run and we won't stumble. And be directed in our desire. Verse 13 says, goes on even further. So now, as we see this in this chapter develops, we see that there's more, it's in more and more intense on how much we're supposed to embrace wisdom. Now he says here in verse 13, he says, take fast hold of instruction. What does that mean? It means you grab it and you don't let it go. No matter how many people are trying to take it away from you, you don't let it go. And then, let her not go. Keep her. And you know what this is? This whole issue of applying wisdom is an issue of life and death. If we're walking in God's wisdom, we are alive to Him. If we're not walking in God's wisdom, we're dead to Him. That's what Romans 6 talks about. And so we need to be directed to apply wisdom. We need to be directed to avoid wickedness. In verses 14 through 17, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Do you see the intensity of the commands here? For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Another repeat of chapter 1. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. To avoid wickedness. Don't go there. Don't go where it exists. Don't even think about it. Don't go there. We have to hear and apply our knowledge. Romans says, make not provision for the flesh. James warns, everyone sin when they're drawn away of their own lust and enticed. Who's got the control? We do, on what we think about. Don't go there. There have been so many people that have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. It should have been there in the first place. After it happens, it's too late. We would sin less if we thought of the consequences. Yes. But the things that we do wrong, we only think about not being caught. Or how we can get away with it. And we don't understand what it's doing to us and what it's doing to people around us. How can man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Stand fast in liberty where you've been called, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay? Think of the consequences when we don't do what God instructs us to do. The third thing, there's nothing good there anyway. For they eat the bread of wickedness. Christ said, I am the bread of life. Which one do you want? Okay? And drink the wine of violence. Christ said at the Last Supper, this is the testament of my blood. By his blood we are brought what? Peace and reconciliation. So we need to apply wisdom to be directed. We need to avoid wickedness to go in the right way. You can't mix the two. I got a secret for you. You can't go forward and backward in the same stuff, in the same motion. You go one way or the other. Okay? Next. To be directed, we need to advance light. Advance in the idea of increasing. Okay? Advance in the idea of increasing. In verses 18 through 19. But the path of the just is at the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they what? Stumble. The first thing is, when we receive Christ as our Savior, that put us on the path of light. Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that walks in me, he that follows me, shall not abide in darkness. The second point is this. The path that we're on should get brighter each day. You know, have you ever been in a cave and you're coming to the opening, and as you get closer and closer to the opening, what happens? It gets brighter and brighter. Or you're in a forest and you're in the shadows and everything else. And as you come out of the forest, it gets what? Brighter and brighter. Folks, as we get closer to God, our way better be brighter and brighter. If you say you're a Christian and you're not on the path of light, then you need to check up on your salvation. In Matthew 6:22, it says, if thy eye be single, then your whole body is full of light. The light of the body is the eye, and if the eye be single, then your whole body is full of light. But if that be full of darkness, then your whole body is full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? So we need to be directed by the wisdom and by the Holy Spirit to advance light. That's what we're supposed to do. Let your light so shine before men. Okay? If you're not on the path of light, you're on the path of darkness. If you're on the path of darkness, your way is getting darker and darker each day. It's going exactly the opposite way. Go ask Jonah what it's like to run away from God. Okay? So the issue is, once again, we have a choice. You either go forward or you're going backward. You can't go both ways simultaneously. You're going to go one way or the other. We need to be directed. Okay? Lastly, we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent. Verses 20 through 22, we need to be diligent to the Word. This passage says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So we need to be diligent to the Word. And that Word is Christ. Secondly, we need to be diligent with all of our heart. With our heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Which direction is your heart going right now? What is your heart filled with? If it's filled with yourself, or if it's filled with God? It's filled with what I want to do, or it's filled with what God wants me to do? We're supposed to keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. The third one, we need to be diligent with our words. In verse 24, "Put away from thee..." What does that mean? That means we all have the capacity to do this. We all have the capacity to hurt people with words. We all have the capacity of saying the wrong thing. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips." Just don't put it away. Put it what? Far away. Far away. So we need to be diligent with God's Word. We need to be diligent with our heart. We need to be diligent with what we say. We need to be diligent with our eyes. Verse 25. "Let thine eyes look right on." What does that mean? Straight ahead. Straight ahead. One of the things that you learn in basic, when you're at attention, you don't dare look left or right. Definitely not turn your head. And even if your eyeballs move left or right, they're going to see it. And they're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. Okay? "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." So we need to be diligent with our eyes. And then lastly, we need to be diligent with where we go. In verses 26 through 27, "Ponder the path of thy feet. Now, what does ponder mean? Think about it. James says that before we speak, we need to be quick to hear and then slow to speak, because we need to think about what we're going to say. Okay? And before we start doing something or going some way, we need to think about this. Is it going down the path of light, or is it going down the path of darkness? Is it going down the way to God and to apply wisdom, or is it going the other way? We need to ponder our actions. Everything should be looked at through the prism of God's Word. Ponder the path of thy feet. And here's that Word. And let all thy ways be established. Not just the ones you want to give control to, God. All of them. Remember how we're supposed to get wisdom? It's the what? Principal thing. And with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. We saw those eight commands and they were bam, 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 bam. Like that. And in case you don't understand what verse 26 is talking about, verse 27 makes it pretty clear. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Don't deviate. And then, remove thy foot from evil. What does that mean? It means we all have the capacity of putting our foot there, don't we? We all have the capacity to say the wrong thing or say an evil thing. We all have the capacity to make a bad choice. But God's wisdom can help us not do those things. In the book of Job, Job 28:12, it says this: but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Where should wisdom be found? In the heart of every believer. Okay? Where's the place of understanding? With us. Does that verse fit you tonight? Or are we missing the point? We need to be disciplined. We need to be determined. We need to be directed. And we need to be diligent when we deal with God's wisdom. Are we faltering at any of those 4 points? We can fix that tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If not, He died on the cross for your sins. Lived a perfect life. Paid your penalty on the cross by dying for you. And He offers you the gift of salvation. You just believe what He did was for you. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. And help us, Lord, if we're dealing with wisdom wisely. Father, help wisdom be found with us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to understand what You want us to do and to follow it with all of our heart. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.